It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so we just got word during the top of the hour. Sam Cosmi has to push up a little bit, so he'll join us in about 10 minutes or so, maybe 11 minutes or so. So instead of 3:30, Sam Cosmi will join us at about 3:12, 3:13. So with that being said, we go along and we move along to the most revolutionary segment in sports talk radio. Not one, but two Super Six Packs, and away we go. Six games against the NFL spread. So far, again, through 2 weeks, I'm 6-6. Not bad, not great, not embarrassing. Game one. I think a game that a lot of people are sleeping on, and maybe it's recency bias. The Giants, with a place kicker in tow now, with their offense starting to come along alive. That doesn't make sense. Along with Malik Nabers. Daniel Jones looked better. Maybe it was just the Commanders. Much, much tougher customer in the Cleveland Browns. But still not sold on the Cleveland Browns offense. Giants plus the 6.5 in Cleveland. I think Cleveland wins. The New Orleans Saints are 2-0 and have rolled through everybody. The horrible Panthers. And, of course, last week in Big D. This week they come home, take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Short week, travel. The Eagles' pass rush hasn't sniffed anything. Give me the Saints minus 2.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Atlanta Falcons off that Monday night win. Maybe they should have lost. They didn't. They won. Host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. It's Arthur Blank night. Free hot dogs and chips and soda for everybody, baby. I think to celebrate the Chiefs, the Falcons, get an outright win over the Chiefs, baby, and cover the 3, I should say, and I'll take them plus the 3. The Falcons are 3-point dogs at home to the two-time Super Bowl champions who struggled to get through Cincinnati, who struggled to get through Baltimore. Give me the Falcons plus the 3. For game 3 of our Super Sunday six-pack. Next week's opponent from the Washington Commanders, old baby Kyler. Kyler Murray, not such a baby anymore. Really playing well. Arizona Marvin Harrison Jr. Watch out. They can still run it with James Conner. Looks like their defense is better than people thought. Not a surprise there. People are always wrong. Give me the Cardinals plus the 3. As home dogs against that fancy Ben Johnson offense, which stunk, quite honestly, much of the first 2 weeks of the season. Cardinals plus the 3 over Detroit. Game 5 at home, Lumen Field. The Dolphins, without Raheem Mostert, without Tua Tagovailoa, have not looked good in any way in either of their first 2 games. Even with the extra rest, long trip, Seahawks off the overtime win in New England. Maybe a dangerous spot here, but I'll still lean towards Seattle. Minus the 4.5 over the Dolphins. I would feel a little bit differently if Mostert was playing. But it doesn't look like he's going to play, and I got to make the pick. Seahawks minus 4.5. And the final game on the board, as we always pick, the Washington Commanders and their opponent. That game. Give me... probably not a surprise. The Washington Commanders plus 7.5 to the Bengals. Listen, I don't know if they win. My gut tells me they don't. Hunch tells me they don't. We'll get more into the X's and O's and specifics on Monday. But I think they can keep it close enough to give themselves a shot in the fourth quarter. Even with T. Higgins apparently coming back. I mean, we'll see. Maybe this game feels different on Monday if we get more on Benjamin St. Jude. We'll see. But for right now, I'm going to lean towards the Commanders plus the 7.5 over the Bengals. So, Giants plus the 6.5 in Cleveland. Saints minus 2.5 at home over the Eagles. Commanders plus 7.5 on Monday night at Cincinnati. Falcons plus the 3 at home against the Chiefs on Sunday night. Cardinals plus the 3 at home against Detroit. Seahawks minus the 4.5 at home against the Dolphins. Those are our six picks. And for our Super Six Pack, in terms of ranking the top six teams in the NFL, and there is nothing more fluid than my list this week, I had San Francisco number one after both week one, or before week one and before week two. I got San Francisco out. A road loss with all their injuries, but that's really the problem, all of their injuries. So not only is San Francisco not in the one spot, but they ain't even in the top six. I'm just going to tell you that. Number one, a new number one, of course. And it might be the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, no, wait a second. It's not, because I haven't been impressed at all by the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm underrating them. They've got the heart of a champion. The Houston Texans, number one. The Houston Texans, number one. Off of their Sunday night win. That defense is ferocious. Give me the Texans as the top team in my Super Six. Now, the Chiefs are number two, which is where they've been weeks one and two. Number three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. After going on the road and beating Detroit, now coming home for Denver, maybe a trap in that game, a little slippage. I still think Tampa's good enough. They are my third ranked team. Number four, mentioned New Orleans against Philadelphia at home. The Saints are my fourth best team right now in the NFL entering week three. Number five, give me Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold, and the Minnesota Vikings. That defense is ferocious as well. Number five for the 2-0 Vikings. And number six, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers. In Pittsburgh against that brutal defense. But maybe they catch a break and expose Justin Fields. Houston, number one. Kansas City, number two. Tampa, number three. New Orleans, number four. Minnesota, number five. And the Chargers, number six. Take a quick time out. Sam Cosmi expected to join us in moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, everybody, welcome back. 3:13 on a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital as we get you set for Monday Night Football. The 1-1 Commanders, 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. We'll have all-day coverage for you on Monday, but right now we head out to Ashburn Commanders Park, and we get to talk to a man who just recently re-signed with the Commanders long-term, and that's great for both sides, and arguably, maybe not so arguably, their best offensive lineman, Sam Cosmi, is with us on the BetQL guest hotline. Sam, it's Chris Russell here in D.C. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you? Oh, do we have Sam now?
Hello?
Hey, Sam, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you making some time for us. Congratulations, obviously, on the contract extension and everything that you've been able to accomplish. I appreciate you doing this. First thing I wanted to ask you was, how has the mood been, and how different is the mood in an NFL building when you got that first win and you can take a little bit of a breath knowing that there's things to improve on and a big game ahead? But how different is it week to week from the loss after Tampa and to the win after the Giants?
Team, we're there and trying to figure out our identity and.
We're having problems with Sam. See if we can get them into a better cell zone area. I just can't. I can't hear it. So it's all broken up. So hopefully we'll be able to rework this and get a better cell signal. Just sometimes these things happen. So I appreciate, obviously, Sam from Commanders PR helping us out with this. So I want to make sure that everybody can hear Sam Cosmi. So we will effort to get him back right here into a better cell area. As long as Maddie can kind of figure it out, maybe they can call in from a landline. We'll see what happens there. I know he's got a very busy schedule. And, of course, the schedule is a little bit different this week because of the Monday night game where you're practicing, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which is normally Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and a walkthrough on Sunday. And they'll have all of that, and they are in the midst of all that. Okay, I think we have Sam Cosmi back here, hopefully on a better signal. Sam, you got me now?
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys making some time for us. And I was saying, I don't know if you heard any of it. Congratulations on the contract extension. We're all pumped for you. It was all great to see. And I guess I started off asking how different the feeling, the mood in the building was this week compared to after week one when, you know, you get the win and you get some validation or some redemption for the hard work you guys put in. How different is it from week to week when you're talking about a loss versus a win?
Yeah, I mean, we're a very new team, right? So when it comes to being around each other, so, you know, we learned a lot from week one. And like I said, even week two, even from the win, I mean, there were some communication mistakes that we had, especially in the red zone when it came to cadence and stuff like that, and just little things here and there. But, you know, as we as we're getting together, as we're, you know, putting more games, I can kind of tell, like, we're getting something close. We're getting there real, mm-hmm. real close to something special. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, each and every week, you know, we're going to learn something new about this team.
And that's just part of the growth process, right? Teams, fans, media, you know, whoever watches football, both NFL, college, they just think, you know, you develop that chemistry, that rhythm, that cohesiveness, whether it be as an offensive line or whether it be as an offense or a team overall with a snap of a finger. And it just doesn't work that way, right? It takes time to build all that and to not only build it, but to have that secondhand nature to it where it doesn't feel like you're always trying to build and build and build or get better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for example, like Tampa, right? So, I mean, a team that's been together, a lot of guys have been together and, you know, were able to put a really good season last season mm-hmm. and go to the playoffs and do all that. You know, it didn't come over time and overnight, I mean, and it took time. And so, you know, that's what, you know, we're doing. We're trying to do it faster and trying to put together something, you know, really special. So we're working each and every day to get to that point.
Sam Cosmi of the Washington Commanders with us here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app on the BetQL guest hotline. You mentioned some things with cadence. You know, there was some speculation that, you know, maybe that wasn't, you know, some of the red zone penalties. And I know I've said it, you know, maybe it wasn't all on the offensive line. I don't know. I'm not there. You tell me. How difficult is it to get everybody on the same page in the red zone when the crowd's making noise and you're trying to concentrate, you're trying to focus, and it led to, again, some unfortunate mistakes, but I don't think anything that you guys can't get better at, right?
Yeah, you know, again, things that we're getting used to with each other, mm-hmm. Things that are easy things to improve on. You know, obviously killed drives and killed opportunities in the red zone. But, you know, we were able to get on the sideline and try to fix some things then. And, you know, the next day we came in and talked about it, and we had some solutions for that. So, like I said, new guys, new thing, you know, team when it comes to stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Each time we go out there, we're going to find solutions to problems that show up.
Is that a byproduct of not playing a ton in preseason games, or does that kind of get diminished because you guys are working on that during training camp and it's just a different circumstance and a different situation that played out, you know, in the red zone last Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, for example, last Sunday it got kind of hard to hear. Mm-hmm. In our own red zone, fans were really geeked up, so it was a little difficult for some of us to hear. Like I said, the cadence wasn't on point in that instance. And so, yeah, like if we ever get in that situation, we, you know, hey, let's go silent count. You know,
mm-hmm.
Let's just eliminate the noise and do that. Well, so.
It's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, as we know, I mean, obviously with the struggles of the franchise, a lot of visiting fans have taken over and all that stuff, and it makes it harder for the home team to operate. So I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, that's a firsthand perspective that we simply don't get in the press box. But you also mentioned silent count. That was something that I mentioned earlier this week. I don't know if you know Rick Doc Walker, you know, played for this team, and he's been, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Hogs and all that stuff. And I asked Doc about, hey, man, can they go to, you know, snap count on Monday night in Cincinnati if they're struggling to hear on the road. How big of a change is that for you guys, Sam, or is it a subtle little thing that you can easily slip in and out of?
Yeah, you know, typically when we're away, we go on silent count regardless of the situation, depending on obviously the environment, but environment being in, you know, Cincinnati, it's going to be an electric environment. So, yeah, we plan on going obviously in silent. It's just the difference at home. You know, that's typically not a thing that, you know, offenses have to do. But, you know, I think our fans were really geeked up first game. And so was the Giants fan. It was a close game. And, you know, it got kind of loud. So, but again, things that obviously we'll learn and adapt.
You know, I was in the locker room after the game and bumping around and talking to some of you guys and, you know, seeing some of the coaches. And as Cliff and Dan were walking off the field, even before they got to the locker room, you know, they embraced each other. And it was like you would have thought, you know, they won something bigger than just a regular season game. And some fans took umbrage with that. And I said, no. I said, listen, one thing I've learned covering this league, covering this team for as long as I have, it's really hard to win a game. And you should, like, even if it's not pretty, you should celebrate it, and you should be relieved, and you should be happy because all of that work somehow gets validated. Is that from a player perspective how you guys approach it?
100%. It is really, really hard to win a game in the NFL. That phrase, any given Sunday, is it's a true thing. And so, you know, it wasn't a pretty win at the end of the day, but we got it done at the end, and it's going to be, you know, another one in the W column. So, you know, it's big time being able to do that and fight through the mistakes we went through and to come up, you know, on top. So, you know, we were really happy about that. And plus, we haven't won a game in our home stadium for quite some time. So it was really nice to do that.
You got to work with Andrew Wiley last year. Now you're getting to work with Tyler Biadasz. And I'm curious, I mean, he had such a tremendous reputation coming here. How has that chemistry, how has that bond, if you will, grown just since you guys got together for OTAs and through camp and through the preseason and now two regular season games?
Yeah, Ty loves ball. Like, I don't think I've ever met a guy that loves ball as much as Ty. To be around that and to have his energy each and every day on the sideline, you know, at practice, you know, I love it. It hypes me up, gets the guys going, and you know, he's smart, he's talented, and he's a good guy to have right in that center of that O line.
Do you get jacked up for Monday Night Football or primetime games, or do you treat it, in your mind, just like any other game?
To be completely honest with you, I just treat it like any other game. You know, of course it's the only game going on, but it's to me, it's cool. It's cool and all, but like I said, I'm gonna treat it. I like to keep my nerves and just to keep calm, you know, and collected going into a game and not overhype something.
I'm not looking for a bulletin board material, but I do have to ask you, one of the Bengals' young defensive backs, Cam Taylor-Britt, said, you know, Cliff's offense is a college offense, and basically he kind of, I don't know, diminished, if you will, what they're asking Jaden to do with the short passing game, the quick game. And I said, look, I know it's got some elements of it, the jet stuff and the quick game and all that, but I really think it's an offense that's designed and suited for a young quarterback and a young offense. Is that how you would describe your offense?
I mean, we're more, we're trying to, in a sense, really heighten Jalen's strengths, you know, and from that aspect, I believe in this offense. Mm-hmm. I think Cliff has a really good offense when it comes to scheme and everything like that. And especially, I think defenses don't like to go against this type of offenses, especially with a QB that can, you know, get out of the pocket mm-hmm. and utilize that. It's not a fun offense to prepare for defensively. So, you know, to his point, you know, I think Jaden still has a lot more to show mm-hmm. to everybody. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think he is too.
Is it harder when you have an incredibly mobile quarterback, or is it in some ways easier?
I think it's easier in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, because you're like, in the back of your head, it's like, hey, you know, that timer in your head of blocking, you got to just keep going because, you know, he can extend the play and make a big mm-hmm. play here and there. So personally, I like it. I've never had it. It's cool to see what he can do with his feet.
Last football thing for you. When you decided to re-sign here and both sides came to that agreement, how much of a relief was that for you? Or was that just, you know, something that you kind of expected all along? Or were you thinking about a lot of it? Or how did you kind of mentally and emotionally process all that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I wanted to, you know, be prepared and focus on football, especially through training camp and do all that. I left the business to the business people, so the guys up front and then mm-hmm. my agent. I tried to, you know, obviously ignore it as much as I could. But, you know, I wanted to get it done before the season in the aspect of I don't want to focus on that. You know, I wanted to do something. I wanted to be here, especially with the group of guys we brought in. And so I was really happy and fortunate to get it done. And, you know, we came to agreements, and I think everybody was really happy about that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it turned out really great.
Yeah, it was a matter of when, not if, at least, you know, I think from most of our perspective. So glad you got it done. Sam Cosmi with us, Washington Commanders. Before I let you run, by the way, he's in case you guys forget, Texas Longhorn alum, right? They're the number one team in the nation,
yep.
right? So, you know, I mean, of course, you got that going for you. So I just yep. wanted to say something personally to you. I've talked to you in the locker room and whatnot before. You and your now former teammate, Nick Gates, last year, did something so nice and so wonderful for my son, who has Down syndrome, and let him on the field and practice at training camp. And you guys were incredibly, incredibly, incredibly nice. So, I know I've thanked you before, but I want to thank you again for having such a kind heart. I know your wife, because I got to meet her at training camp. She's an incredible woman in terms of like what she's done with special needs children and your own daughter, and congratulations on that. So I just want to say, you know, not only are you a good football player and a good person from what I know, but also, you know, what you and your family have done, you know, for people with special needs, you know, again, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, no, thank you. You know, anything I could do, and my wife, you know, we try to do as much. And, you know, they have a heart, you know, for special needs. And, you know, they mean a lot to me, a lot to my wife. You know, your son, it was a great time being able to spend that time with him and give him that experience that, you know, a lot of kids don't get to have. And so that meant a lot to me, meant a lot to Nick. And it was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. You created a memory that he still talks about to this
That's
day.
Awesome.
And he said, tell Sam Cosmi I said hi. So he still very much remembers. So thank you so much for doing this. I know you had a tight schedule, and I want to let you go so you can finish up and do what you got to do so you can get home. Again, thank you so much for, you know, the football stuff is secondary to me for what, you know, you do in the community and all that stuff. And I'm so happy that everything has worked out and you're going to be here for a while. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Sam Cosmi of the Washington Commanders. Nice enough to join us. Thanks to Sam of Public Relations, Media Relations, Sam Frastacci, for coordinating all of that and making that work. So I appreciate that very much. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Interesting what he had to say about, you know, the crowd in the red zone at home, and, you know, the cadence issues and all the things that we kind of talked. I don't know if we really talked about the crowd in the red zone at home element as much as we did about the cadence and getting on the same page as Jaden. You heard his response about the offense that they've created and what Cliff is doing and all of that. So I think we touched on pretty much everything we wanted to touch on. But again, thanks to you, Sam Cosmi. Thanks to Sam Public Relations for hooking that up. First, a trending alert, and then we'll come back with cleanup on aisle three. All right, so again, Sam Cosmi and the Commanders getting ready for the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football. They are 7.5-point favorites for whatever, underdogs, should say, for whatever that is worth. But you just heard his thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Jaden Daniels so far, the communication issues inside the red zone. If you missed any of it, hit the Odyssey Rewind. Matt will have it podcast for you shortly on the Team 980 at the team980.com and or on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, we mentioned the Giants and the Cleveland Browns. Giants going into that game, plus 6.5 dogs, looking for their first win. But Myles Garrett is dealing with an injury, he said, to both of his feet that he will play through, but could possibly require a surgical procedure in the future. Don't forget, the Commanders play the Cleveland Browns in just a couple of weeks, so maybe they'll catch a break. But for now, he plans to play through the injury and the pain. Mike McDaniel expects to be without Raheem Mostert for the Miami Dolphins on Sunday against the 2-0 Seahawks. The 1-1 Dolphins looking to bounce back after that tough Thursday nighter last week against the Buffalo Bills. Of course, no Tua Tagovailoa either. Meanwhile, the Nationals are in action right now on the north side of Chicago against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. They trail 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth after losing the series opener last night. College football tonight, Illinois-Nebraska, number 24, fighting Illini and Brett Bielema at 3-0 against Nebraska, and reborn under Matt Rhule at number 22 and 3-0 overall. That's the big one for you on a Friday night in college football, and that's what's trending. All right, once again, thanks to Sam Cosmi of the Washington Commanders. If you missed any of it, again, we'll be podcast shortly. It's already up. That's how good Matty is. At theteam980.com and or in the podcast section or on the Odyssey app. And just go to the Team 980 and the show where we have everything podcast for you. And that's all Matt. Nothing to do with me, so thank him for that. All of our football conversation here on the Team 980 today is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So again, thanks to Sam Cosmi, thanks to Commanders PR. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I know I did. Some interesting comments. You know, again, we weren't looking to, you know, have bold headlines or anything like that. But, you know, interesting what he said, you know, and I mean, I'll just say this. The more they win, the less Giants fans, the less Cowboys fans, the less Eagles fans, the less Steelers fans, the less whatever fans will be there. You know, in the red zone, when you're trying to communicate and you're trying to hear and you're trying to be on the same page, and you got play clock and you got all sorts of things going on, what you don't need at home is a bunch of road fans yelling and screaming and cursing at you and doing whatever they're doing and making it worse to communicate. I didn't even ask him about the pancake block he had. I want to say first drive of the game. Could be wrong on that. Maybe it was the second drive of the game. I can't remember. But, you know, we try to get in as many things as we can. So thanks to Sam Cosmi and, again, Sam in public relations over at the Commanders for making that happen. We don't do a lot of guests, but we try and bring you the right guests is how I kind of say it. All right, coming up, Dum Dum of the Day in just a little bit. We'll return to New York City for Dum Dum 2 days in a row. Somebody was mad at me for criticizing the mayor of New York for having a rat summit.
Anybody that's lived in New York knows for a fact that rats run the city. If you're in the subway after 9 p.m., you're going to see a rat that's about the size of a mid-sized dog. We're talking about 18 pounds. It is what it is. It's disgusting, but you learn to live with it and you move on.
Well, not only that, and listen, nobody should have to deal with that, but unless I read the story wrong, and maybe I did, but I don't think I did. Like, it should be a no-brainer that we're not putting trash on city streets. Whatever the cost is, and whoever's got to pay it. Somebody's got to pay it. I'm not smart enough to know. The story mentioned like between $45 and $55 a month or something like that for a container. Listen, guys, I don't put my trash out at my house, out on the street. Why? Because, well, dogs will get to it. Pets will get to it. Cats will get to it. Rats will get to it. Whoever. We got to put stuff in the trash, in containers, so that you hope to try and minimize or eliminate. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But time right now to do our other normal 3 o'clock p.m. special staple. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Oh, yeah, baby. Normally our time to get into it with the Nationals. Again, they are already underway and playing. And in the sixth inning, losing to the Chicago Cubs 1-0. That's not really the story. I mean, the story is playing out the string here. They were feisty and plucky last night. Patrick Corbin and one of his, I would presume, maybe he's got one more start left. Maybe he's got two. I haven't done exactly the math. But one of his final starts with the Nationals was not very good. He's been much better of late, but not very good last night. The Cubs are playing for something. They're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. That's the baseball story. You just hope that nobody gets a terrible injury or anything like that. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But again, right now they are trailing the Cubs 1-0 after losing a fourth in a row last night. But we want to let you know that because the ball game is on. And today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Right now, it's 87 degrees in Chicago. Only a 15% chance of humidity. Of precipitation the rest of the afternoon. So they should have no problem getting the rest of the ball game in. And that's good. And a Friday afternoon in Wrigleyville in Chicago is just Americana, man. I've been there a couple of times for a Friday afternoon game. You know, you go out to the bars around Wrigleyville. It's been a while since I've been there, so, you know, I don't know how much has changed and all that. But there aren't many cooler places on planet Earth than Wrigley Field, Wrigleyville, the north side of Chicago. Man, I miss some of those days. I miss those younger days when I could drink like a fish, baby. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. In case you missed our thoughts on Shohei Ohtani earlier, again, the biggest thing that I will just say is we finally get to see Shohei Ohtani play in October. Maybe he's played in October, last regular season weekend. I'm sure he has. But I mean October, October as in October, October, as in the baseball postseason. Cannot wait for that. That's going to be great. One other story that we mentioned once, but we didn't spend any time on because why would we? Joel Embiid and Josh Harris's Philadelphia 76ers reaching a 3-year, $192.9 million extension. So, Uncle Josh spending some money. I mean, obviously, you should, you would. No surprise there. What was interesting, and I think what sort of spurred some of this conversation, although I'm not 100% sure on this, but you know who was on Sports Radio 94 WIP this morning in Philly on the Odyssey app? And that was the guy that we just cannot get enough of. And I don't mean that quite honestly in a positive way. Jason Kelce, who's everywhere. Who I need you to tone it down a little bit. I know Trav is doing what he's doing with old Tay-Tay. We don't need any more of the Kelce brothers. And, like, a friend of mine told me Mama Kelce is now starring in her own, like, Hallmark Channel documentaries or something like that right around the holidays. Enough. But Jason Kelce this morning on WIP in Philadelphia, when talking about the Philadelphia 76ers and Josh Harris and his new arena, not in his new arena, his hopes to build a new arena, which they were hoping to build in Center City, and now they're talking about maybe having to build across the river in Camden, New Jersey, and whatnot. Jason Kelce said, quote, they're strong-arming the city. What to do? What to do? That doesn't make sense. Do you risk losing the Sixers? It just sucks. The ownership group isn't Philadelphia. He's got a New Jersey Devils team, a Philadelphia team, and now a Washington team. Ooh, big words, tough guy words from Jason Kelce. Don't trust that Josh Harris guy. He's got a New Jersey team. He's got a Philadelphia team. And he's got a Washington team. Listen, three different sports. It's all in the sort of Northeast Mid-Atlantic. He said he already doesn't really do much with the Devils. The Sixers and the Commanders are his baby. And I would assume that if you asked him, like, the Commanders are clear number one and the Sixers are down here. Not saying anything wrong with that. Just because Josh Harris is not from Philadelphia does not mean he doesn't care about Philadelphia. Does not mean he doesn't want to win a championship. Does not mean that he doesn't want to build an arena. But what it does mean is when all of you guys talk about RFK, 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 and Landover, and this, that, and the other thing, and you want RFK, Josh Harris is a businessman. Like, he wants to win for Washington, D.C., and for the organization he grew up loving and rooting for here. And he said all the right things, and him and Mitchell Rails and Magic Johnson and so on and so forth. Mark Hine, again, they're businessmen. And they will go, I think, with whoever presents them the best and most favorable deal. And they will push for whatever they can push for. And strive for whatever they can strive for. And it doesn't matter whether they're from Philadelphia and representing the Philadelphia 76ers or from Washington and representing the Washington Commanders. If you think Josh Harris is into charity, if you think Josh Harris is not going to want public money to build a new football stadium, whether it be in Landover, whether it be in the district at RFK, or in Virginia, I suppose. If you think that's not going to happen, if you think that's not the thought process, you're not paying attention.
And, I mean, I will say I don't share your hatred for Jason Kelce. I like the New Heights podcast. I think that he's an entertaining person. I think he's a good person. And I think he's a good role model for the league, for just, like, people that have come out that are sane, that are still entertaining and personalities, but not crazy. So I don't agree with that. But I would like to point out he's from Ohio. Philly adopted him, but he's from Ohio.
It's a good point. I bet you he had no problem with that, right? Now, he's also not trying to build a stadium. You know, so that's a good point. I should point out, I don't hate Jason Kelce. I don't hate Travis Kelce, Donna Kelce, any of them. Good for them. It's just a little bit too much. They're omnipresent. They're everywhere. You know, it's like the rats in New York City. They're everywhere. I'm just teasing. They're just everywhere. Everywhere you turn. He's doing a chunky commercial. He's dancing around in an Italian jumpsuit. We know Tay-Tay and the impact that's had on the NFL. I mean, don't get me wrong. The NFL loves it because the NFL is getting $3-5 million more viewers per game, especially with the Chiefs in a lot of big-time primetime spots, i.e. this Sunday night. Because of Taylor. Not because of the Chiefs. Because of Taylor. Just keep that in mind. Just a lot of the Kelces. I'm on Kelce overload right now. It's not a bad thing. I'm just on Kelce overload. All right, that does it for cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
I guess we could have gotten something else in there, but I decided, you know what? We've addressed a bunch of different things. Whatever we have. Oh, you know what? I did want to mention this real quickly. As usual, all you Twitter detectives and all you investigative analysts blowing up everyone's timeline with the video and or the picture of Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh not really embracing on the sideline, and Aaron seemingly looking either disgusted or frustrated or annoyed or whatever. And Aaron Rodgers after the game said, oh, you know, he doesn't like to hug. He said, quote, he's not a big hugger usually. So I didn't know he was going for the hug, he said with a smile. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. He talks a lot about two-score lead. So I kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. Listen, I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers guy. I think he's arrogant and I think he's weird. But two things. Number one, immediately I thought, those guys aren't beefing. Just stop. Stop trying to make something and everything into something. Just enough. Go away. Go away. Go away. And the other thing is, and this was more interesting to me, last night when Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, that was the first time in his career, that he threw a touchdown to a first round draft pick. Imagine that, right? We knew for many years in Green Bay that he didn't have top tier talent, even though Devontae Adams obviously has developed into that. But think about that. It was the first time in all of his games. 525 touchdown passes in his career. The first one to a wide receiver taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Pretty amazing. It basically, Grant Paulson cover years, the anti-Peyton Manning, who was delivered first round pick after first round pick after first round pick after first round pick after first round pick on his way to a Hall of Fame. Neither has Peyton Manning. He's too busy throwing a first round picks. All right, let's get to it. Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up next. We wrap up the show and the week next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, usually they play this at Gillette Stadium as the New England Patriots enter the field, but Maddie plays it for a different reason.
It It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Oh, yes. We head back to New York City, where not only do they have a rat problem, but they have a stolen subway problem. According to the Associated Press, police have arrested a teenage girl who they say took an empty New York City subway train on a joyride.
Let's ride.
Illegally, of course, but then worse, crashed the subway train and fled the scene.
Cue the fool said it already sold.
Now, apparently there's a male companion that they haven't found yet. They have, like, surveillance pictures, and they're in kind of weird dress and costume and whatnot. One is dressed in all pink, wearing a pink shower cap, and another is wearing a blue tank top. They arrested a 17-year-old girl Wednesday. They charged her with criminal mischief and reckless endangerment. Well, so far he is, because what happened was the pair got on a train parked at the Briarwood subway station in Queens just after midnight. What are they doing after midnight? On September the 12th, got the train running somehow, according to police, and then crashed it into another parked train ran. No, even the youngest in charge couldn't be this confused. Again, no word on the damage to the train. No injuries were reported. I guess that's the good thing. But my goodness, people, keep your kids home at night. They're up to no good. They are up to no good.
You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Yeah, the surveillance pictures are, I got to be honest with you, pretty funny. The one in pink is wearing like a sleeveless pink dress shirt, whatever, with the pink shower cap and big, huge hoop earrings. And the one in blue is wearing a blue tank top with a blue backpack and got a big old mop of hair on his head. I hope they find him, and I hope they arrest his ass, and I hope they send them both to jail for a long time. We have to erase stupidity in this world. That's why we do Dumb Dumb of the Day. Craig Hoffman coming up next. He'll take you home on a Friday afternoon. I will see you Monday. Great job, Adam Addy, all week. Thanks to you guys for being a part of the show. Thanks to Sam Cosmi of the Washington Commanders. Again, if you missed that, check it out on the podcast at Team 980 and or on the Odyssey app. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday at 1.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.